left off last week discussing the Machlekes HaRishonim about what exactly constitutes ksiva, what constitutes writing for the purposes of Hilchos Shabbos. So we saw there are two fundamentally different approaches to how we relate to ksiva in light of other dinim of ksiva. And the other dinim of ksiva in other areas of halacha are ksiva, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. So there was one whole group of Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim, were of the opinion that the definition of ksiva for Shabbos and the definition of ksiva for sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos are not the same at all. When it comes to Hilchos, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos, there's a special halacha, the Mishnah says, you have to write a sefer Torah, dafkin ksav ashuris. It has to be specifically Hebrew characters. You can't write a sefer Torah in English. The Mishnah quotes Machlokes is that Torah and Maseches Megillah. Maybe you could write a sefer Torah in Greek also. There's already a whole shaila based on apostles. There's a course of maybe the old Greek would be acceptable for sefer Torah as well. But besides Lashon HaKodesh, besides Ksav Ashuris, and besides Greek, then of course there would be nothing to talk about. So that's at least true in the realm of Hilchos sefer Torah. So we had a Machlokes in the Rishonim. Does that halacha, does that distinction between Ksavashuri or Yevonis and Katras, everything else, does that spill over to Shabbos as well? So most of the Rishon wrote the opinion that the two areas of halacha are not comparable. And therefore, when it comes to Kosev B'Shabbos, so we take the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos at the face value. HaKosev B'Choloshim Chayev. The Mishnah says that if a person writes in any language, they're chayev. So the simple reading is, it doesn't matter what language, doesn't matter what script, you write in English, in Japanese, in Latin, whatever you write, any language, any character, any script whatsoever, one would be chayev on Shabbos. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, that's not true. Two different areas of halacha. That was the view, what seemed to be the view of most of the Rishonim, as Tosfos and Masechta Gittin presented. But then there was one view that we saw quoted in the Zeruah, quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Yoel, a minority view in the Rishonim who said no. That just as in Hilchos Sefer Torah, there's a very, very specific type of a ksiva that is accepted by the halacha, so too, HaKosev B'Shabbos is only considered to be a ma'aseh ksiva if one writes in that language as well. What would constitute that language? Either Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Yevonis as well. So we tried to show last week the riots back and forth from the Gemara. We had a Rishalmi that some Rishonim read in one way, another Rishonim disagreed. And we had a Bavli that some Rishonim read one way, the other Rishonim read another way. We didn't have any real convincing riot either way. What is the answer to this question? But the underlying question, underlying principle that's being discussed here is the relationship between the Din Ksiva in the Territorial Mezuzahs and the Din Ksiva in Hilchos Shabbos, the relationship or lack thereof. So it's that underlying question that now becomes, leads us into the next part of the sugya. We find also questions in the Rishonim just to how much these two areas of Kosev are related to one another. So let's take a look at the eighth of the Marma Kamos. We have to learn a little bit of Hilchos Ksiva from the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos vantage point in order to come back to see the significance in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So in the 8th of the Rambam Kamos, the Gemara Maseches Menachos, Nabchav Tesem Beis tells us, Amar Rava, Shiva Osios Trichos Shlosha Zayunin, Ve'elu Hein Shatnes Getz. There are seven letters, we have a tradition, that it's not enough just to write the letter, but you have to write, we call them a tagin, what the Gemara calls a Zayunin. Zayunin means a little Zion, it's a little shmishik, a little Zion, a little tag, a little crown on top of the letters. So if you take a look in the Sefer Torah, next time we get an Aliyah, take a look at those. Hopefully it'll be in the Sefer Torah. Next, those letters, the letters of Shatnez Getz. Shinayin, Tess, and Zion, Gimel Tzadik. So each one of those letters has three little crowns on top, on the leftmost head of those letters, has three little crowns, the three little Zion, the three little Tagin. So with that background, the Gemara in the 9th of the Rambam Kamos now is addressing a Shaila in Hilchos Shabbos, with the understanding that the normal way of writing these letters, the Shatnez Getz letters, requires the three tagin. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, going to the topic of Hamad Alf, and the 9th of the Rambam Kamos. So we take a look at the end of the second line. So Tana, Niskavin Lichtov Os Achas Ve'olubiyo Deshtayim Chayev, Fatadan Potur, Lokasha Deboiz Yunei Had Loboiz Yunei. It's a very, very cryptic discussion we're going to see as we go on. There are many different approaches in the Rishonim to what precisely this means. We're just going to translate literally for our purposes. Very, very simple. So the Braisa says that a person is writing one letter, and lo and behold, he ends up writing two letters. How in the world did he end up writing two letters? Trying to write one. How did one become two? Well, if you think about it, the Os Ches is very, very close to being two letters. Next time we get a Ali, I take a look and see. If you look at an Os Chesed Sefer Torah, so it's really made up of two different letters. It's made up of two Zions, just a little bit of a crown in between. There is actually a Machlokas, the two different Ksavim, two different Minhagim of Ksav, whether a Ches is actually made up of two Zions, or whether it's made up of a Vav and a Zion. So depending on the Sefer Torah that you get in the Aliyah next time, you can take, if you look carefully, you'll notice that many Sefer Torah have it actually two distinct Zions with a crown called Chataterah on top, and there are some that have a Zion on the one side and a Vav on the other side. The way to tell between the Vav and the Zion is that the Zion is a square top with a line coming out in the middle. The Vav is just like a Vav. So the difference of nuances as to what exactly the Beis Osios of the Ches are is actually machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Ari. So the minig of the Beis Yosef, which is the generally the minig of the Sefer Torah that are written I guess we would call Flach Betu and the Misnagdish minig. So those who follow the minig of the Beis Yosef, so their chesim and their Sefer Torah, their chesim and their tefillin and mezuzahs are made up of two Zions with a crown on top. Those who follow the Chassidish Sofrim, so they follow the minig of the Ari and they make their chesis out of a Vav and a Zion. They're both kosher. They're both acceptable. Two different nuances to what exactly the Beis Osios that make up the ches. But a kopadim, let's go with this.
Both Osios in, let's say, one type of parsha, like tefillin or whatever.
I mean, some of one and some of the other. Yeah, the kosher. Mikra, then we pass it. All the ksavim are kosher. Lechatchila, you should try to have consistent. You shouldn't have half a parsha written chassidish, half a parsha written. It's like davening nusach svar till Ashrei, then switching tashkei. I mean, the Evan, everything is okay. Lechatchila, you should try to keep the parshas the same. So again, so the Braisa talks about the possibility of a person in theory writing one letter, and lo and behold, he wrote two letters. So he wrote two Zions. we'll take the Mishnah approach to the Gemara. So he ended up writing two Zions. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says he's Chayav, and the Gemara quotes another Braisa that says he's Potter. So what's the difference? Lokasha, had the boy Ziyune, had the lo boy Ziyune. So at least the simple reading of the Gemara is that it depends. That can we make a person chayev for writing the two Zions or not? Well, you only chayev if you wrote a letter. So if a person wrote a letter and didn't complete the letter, then he's not going to be chayev. So if you write a Zion, if you write the letter Zion, is that considered to be a full letter? It depends. If it has tagin on it, so then it's considered to be a full letter. If you didn't write the tagin, so you didn't finish the letter. So that's what the Gemara says, that can you be chayev for the two Zions? It depends. If it still needs Zions, you haven't completed the Zions yet, so it's like you wrote half a letter, so you're going to be Potter on Shabbos. If you already did finish the Zions, then you did write a full letter, you wrote two full letters, and you're going to be Chayef. So according to the way we just translated, we just lumped this Gemara, it comes out, the Gemara is telling us, that in order to be Chayef a Kesev on Shabbos, you have to write an Os. You have to write actually two Os. It's called the base Os. This is Chayef. How do you define what's called an Os? So it has to be a complete os. And what standards of complete os are used? So you have to look at the Gemara Menachas and Daf Chav Tes that talks about the standards of osios for Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzahs. If it meets the standards of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzahs, then it meets the standards of Ksiva for Shabbos as well. So according to the simple reading of this Gemara, the Gemara just made a bridge. The Gemara just connected what constitutes Ksiva to Shabbos ultimately depends on what constitutes Ksiva and Hilchas Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs. Now, if you think about it, if I have a Zion written without Tagim, it still looks like a Zion. If I saw two letters, a Zion and a Zion, I would read it as the word Zaz, whether it has Tagim or it doesn't have Tagim. But in Hilchas Sefer Torah, it wouldn't be a complete Os. So the Gemara seems to be telling us a tremendous Chiddush that the standards of completion of an Os for Hilchas Shabbos are governed by the standards of completion of an Os in Hilchas Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs, even though I can read it. Even though if I would write you just a letter, if I would write you a note, I wouldn't necessarily put Tagin on. Doesn't matter. There's an objective definition of Ksivas Osios, and that objective definition is borrowed from Hilchas Sefer Torah.
Is it an objective standard, or is this subjective?
Oh, you're right. Okay, Steve is already learning the Gemara totally different. You're learning that Hocham Askin and this guy wanted to write that way. Okay, we got a while to get there, okay? So the simple reading of the Gemara is Hadabai's Yuni means those letters that need Zions, don't need Zions, means if it still needs a Zion, you're not going to be Chayav. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So this simple pshat in the Gemara was actually taken by some of the Rishonim. If you take a look at the 10th of the Mamakamos, quoted that goes, Maimon hi, Enuchas Tefillin HaMezuzah, Loshen Rabbeinu Simcha. Quotes from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Simcha, Umashenagu het the licht of kisfe hediotos below sirtut, mishum dechsiva dakash and a kosvinshtar hediotos, eno choshuv ksav. So Rabbeinu Simcha is dealing with a problem that many of the Rishonim attempt to tackle. He said the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Gittin. The Gemara tells us that there's a special halacha that when you write a psukim from Tanakh, so you have to do what's called sirtut. Sirtut means literally to make lines. You have to make it straight. You have to, you can't just pick up a pen and paper and start writing a psukim just like that. You have to make lines. Like in a Sefer Torah, take a look. If someone thinks to do next time you get an aliyah, try to pay attention to the lady. Also, we got to look at the Isis, look at the Vavs, look at the Zions. So look at the lines in a Sefer Torah also. So the Gemara tells us there's a special halacha that when you write a Sefer Torah, so you have to have lines, a little root, a little indentation before you write the Sefer Torah. There's a halacha when you write mezuzah, it has to be that way. Tefillin happens to be upset. Yaitzim and a klam. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. But generally speaking, when you write Kisvei HaKodesh, so you have to write with sirtut. Then the Gemara Maseches Gittin says, even if you're not writing a whole Sefer, you're not even writing a whole Sefer, you're not even writing a whole mezuzah, you're just writing a letter, and you want to write a couple of psukim, you want to write a pasuk from Tanakh in the middle of the letter. So the Gemara says you have to write with sirtut as well. There's a question, what exactly is that? Really, a din deraisa? It's not exactly clear, a whole sugya about where exactly this din of sirtut comes from. But the Gemara is pretty clear, Maseches Gittin, that you're not supposed to be writing things unless you make sirtut, etc. So Rabbeinu Simcha is brought up with the kasha. He said, we violate this all the time. My Simcha Liyim. Guy's taking notes in... Now nobody even takes notes anymore. All the kids run the computers now and they're taking notes. But in the old days, the Rebbe would say something. He's not writing. You're writing notes. So the Rebbe writes a pasuk on the board. He writes a pasuk on the board. I don't remember him taking out a ruler and making the lines underneath the pasuk. So how come nobody observes this din anymore? So Rabbeinu Simcha is bothered with this kash. Mashin, no, go ahead there. Licht of kisveh yaitz. We do it all the time below sirtut. So says Rabbeinu Simcha, mishum dixi, back to the first line again, mishum dixiva dakash anukosvim shtarid yotos, eino chashav ksav. Says Rabbeinu Simcha, because the writing that we do, the letters in Hebrew that we form, are not really considered to be letters, are not really considered to be kosev. Why is it? It's what's called ksiva daka. Ksiva daka is basically what we call script. Because when we write Lashon HaKodesh today, when we write Hebrew, we write, take our notes in Chumash, so we don't sit with a quill and start forming, a shin with a head, with that. We write a quick shin. Whether we write in the days of Rishon, we used to write what we call colloquially Rashi script, whether we write with some of the posts called Ksav Meshita, like the script that we use today, or any of these types of very, very quick letters, that's what the Rishonim coined the phrase Ksiva Daka. Daka means thin. It's unlike the letters in the Sefer Torah, which are formed in a proper manner based on the halachas, and they look like Isaiah, it looks like Sefer Torah. We write just a quick chick-chack kind of a writing. That's not considered to be kosev. So it comes a bit of Simcha and says, if it's not considered to be kosev, then it's not considered to be a violation of writing psukim without sirtut. The issur is you're not allowed to write psukim without sirtut. I didn't write anything. I just made a little scribbles, a little doodles. The letters that we write today, and we call, quote-unquote, I'm writing Hebrew, Nishkin Hebrew, Nishkin Shav Ashuris, it's not considered to be writing, and therefore the whole dinim of sirtut doesn't apply. How did Rabbeinu Simcha know that this is true? Where did he get this idea that if it doesn't meet the standard, so to speak, of Hilchos Sefer Torah, it's not considered to be writing? He says, I'll bring you Raya, says Rabbeinu Simcha, continues. The afilu ma'oz chasa zion v'choshev ksav linim chiv shabbos ha'chom v'chomor kosh again hocha. Says Rabbeinu Simcha, ma dechinuch ha'shabbos, which is such a chomerdik area of halachos, it's a skila. And we say, you didn't write a Sefer Torah standard? Forget about it. That's not considered to be the equivalent of Chil Shabbos. If it's missing the standards of Kosev and Os, Hilchos Sefer Torah, then it's not considered to be Ksiv and Os for the purposes of Shabbos as well. So he says, if that's true for Shabbos, Kavachoymer, for the low-level type of Issa called writing without Sirtut, vis-a-vis Hilchos Sirtut, it has to be a Ksav, it has to be an Os, it has to be an official Torah-sanctioned letter. And the only model to look for what constitutes a Torah-sanctioned letter is Hilchos Ksiv Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzos. How did Rabbeinu Simcha know that even in Hilchos Shabbos, a letter that doesn't meet those criteria is not a letter? He quoted the Gemara. We just learned just now. Kedekaporech perakabayne says Rabbi Nissim in the third line. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says Lokasha had the kabayz yune had lokabayz yune, that just as if you write a zayin but you forgot to put the tagin on, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. So if you're not chayiv on Shabbos, it's nishkenoyz. It's not a letter. If it's not an oath for Shabbos, then it's not an oath for sirtut as well. So Rabbi Nissim just made a double bridge. He just connected three different areas of halacha. The common denominator is they all revolve around the halachas of ksiva. They all revolve around ksivas osios. There's the standards of ksivas osios for writing a sefer Torah. There's the standards of ksivas osios for being called kaisiv on Shabbos. And there's the standards of ksivas osios for being a violation of the yisr of writing without sirtut. Says Rabbi Nissimcha, there are three different areas of halacha, some more chomer, some less chomer. The common denominator of all three is that it has to be an official Torah acceptable Ksav, an official Torah-defined os. And there's only one definition of ksivas osios in Kol HaTorah Kula, and that one definition are the standards that are used in the writing of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos. Anything that falls short of those standards doesn't require sirtut. Anything that falls short of those standards is not called a violation of Kosev on Shabbos. This is the theme of Rabbi Nissim. Then he goes on to show you that, and how do I know that the letters that we're writing, it's little chachka, little chick-chack letters that we write, called script, called the ksiva daka, called the ksiva shita, whatever you want to call them, how do you know that those don't qualify? How do you know those wouldn't be good for a sefer Torah? So comes a man who was simple and he says, Uchadi amadar be'akamitz rabba, fe'afilu ksav echad ma'akev. The Mishnah says in Maseches Menachos, in the sugyas of sefer Torah, tzvon mezuzos, it's interesting how in the world the dinim of Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzos snuck into Maseches Menachos. They have nothing to do with bringing a carbon. The Mishnah Menachos gives an example of something that's ma'akev. Sometimes when you do a mitzvah, so certain parts of the mitzvah are ma'akev b'di'evin, and certain parts of the mitzvah is not so critical. If you don't do it, you're still yaitzeh. So the Mishnah starts talking about if you bring a mincha, but you didn't bring this and this part of the mincha, is it ma'akev or not? So that's like a style of Mishnayos. This is ma'akev, this is not ma'akev. And the Mishnah goes, lists 25 other areas of halacha that have absolutely nothing to do with the base of Mikdash. When a detail is ma'akev, when a detail is not ma'akev. So one of the things on the list is, two of the things on the list are the parshas of Tefillin and the parshas of Mezuzos. So the Mishnayos say, ksav echad ma'akev. If you write Tefillin, you write Mezuzos, and you left out one or two letters. So the Mishnah says, that's no good. It's not l'chadchila to write the whole parsha. But if you write a tefillin and mezuzah without every single letter, the whole tefillin and mezuzah are possible in a Torah. So the Mishnah writes that phrase, v'afilu ksav echad ma'akev. So the Gemara in Maseches Menachos asks in that Mishnah, ksav echad ma'akev, pshita. I need a Mishnah to tell me that I have to write every letter in the tefillin. What would I have thought otherwise? I would have thought that it's called tefillin without. The pasuk says, the Torah says, take these parshas, these four parshas, and write them. So I would have thought, well, I wrote half the parsha, that's good enough. I wrote a third of the parsha, that's good enough. Who are you kidding? Everybody can figure out. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. It's so obvious that if you're missing a letter, so you don't have the parsha. So you didn't write the parsha, that's filling. So the Gemara asked the Kasha and the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah have to spell out explicitly Ksavech and Ma'akev? So the goes by and he continues quote at the end of the third line. So he's quoting for the Gemara Benachos. Kedomen Abba come into Rabba. Filu Ksavech and Ma'akev Pshita. Am Ravina Marav. Lo Nitzucha El Lekutza Shel Yud. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is not necessary to teach me that if you're missing an entire letter that it's possible. Anyone can figure that out. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, even if you're missing part of a letter, it's no good. I would have thought, well, I wrote 90% of the letter. It's basically there. I can read it. I can see it. It looks like a letter. No. Kamash b'lan the Mishnah, filu ksav echad ma'akev, if any one of the letters in the entire parshas of Tefillin and Mezuzah is not written properly, is not written completely, apostles, the Tefillin and Mezuzah is mid araisa. That's already a chiddush. It's half a chiddush. There's something to that. To tell me that every letter has to be there, that I can figure it out on my own. To tell me every letter has to be formed properly, so that's already a chiddush. So then the Agos Bavni continues and says that the Gemara asks that, and also, Hanami Pshita, the Gemara says, that's also Poshut. If the letter is not written properly, so it's Kaman Delays, it's as if it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, so then it's not there. So it's not going to be Kasha. So the Gemara works really, really hard to try to figure out what's Pshat in the Mishnah. One thing you see crystal clear from the Gemara, Belishim Suffolk, that a letter not written properly isn't there. It's so not there that I don't even bother to have a Mishnah to tell me that it's possible. If a letter is written, but it's not written completely, according to whatever those standards of completion are, it's absolutely kamandaleis, it doesn't exist, the tefillin are possible, everything's possible in deraisa. What's an example of something that's not quite written completely? How incomplete is incomplete? So I would have thought, a guy wrote a shin, and he left out half the letter. So I would have thought, that's an incomplete letter. So Gemara says, that's a joke. Of course that's an incomplete letter. I'll give you an example of an incomplete letter. So comes the Gemara and gives the famous example. The Gemara could have given 22 examples, 22 ICS, couldn't give any example. So the one the Gemara wanted to give was the biggest chiddush, namely the kutzah shel yud. The yud is there, but there's a little shmichik on the yud that's not there. A little something on the yud that's not there properly. Even though the yud is there, I can see it, it looks like a yud to me, it doesn't matter. If the kutzah shel yud is missing, the entire yud is posel, it doesn't exist. If the yud is posel, then that letter doesn't exist. If that letter doesn't exist, then the tefillin are posel, the mezuzah is posel, the Torah is posel, etc. So it's such a nothing, it's you can barely see it, and it's still ma'akev. What exactly is this magic kutzah shel yud? What's the secret kutzah shel yud? You got to draw out. There's a little bit of room here on the bottom. So we'll draw. What exactly is the kutzah shel yud? So it's so small, we're not even sure what it is. So let's see, I'll try my great skills of Sivit Torah. This is it's pretty much like kind of like the yud, okay? Not bad, right? A little bit. The yud. There are three sheets in the Rishonim. What is this magic kutzah shel yud? The Rashi learns that it's this. It's actually the right leg of the yud. So Tosfos says, if that's not there, so it's just a drop of ink. It doesn't look like anything. So Tosfos says it's the left one, not the right one. Just as the machlokes in the Rishonim, what did Tosfos mean? Did Tosfos mean the bottom of the left? Did Tosfos mean the top of the left? So you have three puzzles. Next time, you better get a long aliyah next time. Don't get some aliyah pashas at some of a yelich or something to be done before it's over. So take a look at the yuds. Maybe don't look too carefully. Take a look at the yuds and make sure that all three of these things are there. And a good Sefer Torah will have all three written properly. Rashi's Kutzah Shel Yud, Rabbeinu Tam's Kutzah Shel Yud, and other Rishonim's version of Tosfos' Kutzah Shel Yud. So we like to get all three. So the Gemara says, if the Kutzah Shel Yud is missing, so the whole yud is kamandaleis. So according to the way many of the Rishonim learn, this isn't it. That's it. So Rabbeinu Simcha says, that little shmichik isn't there, and it's still possible. It's not called the Sefer Torah. The whole thing is possible in the Raisa Gavalt. What do you say?
One's Tosfos is Shita, one's Rashi Shita. So if it's one, how could it be Miyakev if it's a different Shita?
No. We're not sure. The Gemara says that the Gemara uses the phrase Kutzah Shel Yud is Miyakev. A coats means like a little. Right. We're not sure which is which. We don't know whether Rashi is right or Tosfos is right. So therefore, our meaning is we write all of them. We make sure that all the kutzah shel yuds are in place. Everyone agrees like al-chili, you have to have all three. The question is which one is the one that Gemara is really talking about being possible at the end?
What's the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos, which one it would be anyway?
It's a big nafkamina. It's a tremendous nafkamina. You have a yud that's written like this. So you have a yud without a coats. Is a yud like that kosher or not?
So
according to Tosfos, according to Rebbe Tam, it's possible with the Eved.
And you went told with the Eved.
No, I didn't say which way we pass it. Maybe we pass it to the other, like Rashi, okay, maybe Hanami. But a Sefer Torah, it would only be written like this, I would not be so thrilled with. If you had tefillin and mezuzahs, I would not be so thrilled with. If it looks like according to the Tosfos, this is possible. So you know, this really should be done properly. Okay?
So
it's according to Rashi. Rashi's tefillin, according to Rashi, yeah. Doesn't always work like that across all Roshitas. Anyway, get back to the story. So comes a bit of Simcha and says, you see from this sugya about the Kutzah Shel Yud, the Maisalach, that in order to be a kosher, a letter for the purposes of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, there are very, very strict definitions as to what constitutes an oath. So says Rabbeinu Simcha, those same standards carry over to Ilchas Shabbos, because remember the Gemara compared them vis-a-vis Tagin, and those same standards carry over vis-a-vis the Isser of writing without Sirtut. So says Rabbeinu Simcha, it's a package deal. You know, whatever the definition of ksiva is in one area of halacha is the definition of ksiva in the other areas of halacha. So according to Rabbeinu Simcha, let's go back now to our original sugya. We were talking, we got off the topic a little bit, we were talking about other languages. If I write in English, I write in Japanese, I write in Arabic, or in other characters, am I chayiv and Shabbos or not? So Taisa said, of course, Yechayev. And most of the Rishonim said, of course, Yechayev. But we saw a dissenting view last week. We saw a bit of Yoel, some Rishonim held, no, that you're not Chayev on Shabbos. Why are you not Chayev on Shabbos? So the Rabbi Yoel made a comparison. He says, well, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, it's not called Iksav unless it's Iksav Ashuri. In Hilchas Sefer Torah, it's not called Iksav unless it's either Ashuri or maybe Yevani, maybe Greek, maybe we'll let you get away with the Greek Sefer Torah. So says Rabbi Yoel, just as for Hilchas Sefer Torah purposes, so there's a certain standard that has to be upheld. That standard has to be maintained to be Chayev on Shabbos as well. So that bridge that Rabbeinu Yoel made last week concerning other languages is the exact same bridge that Rabbeinu Simcha is making this week in terms of not different languages. He's talking about Hebrew characters, but Hebrew characters aren't formed properly. So basically, a Hebrew character that's not formed properly is equivalent of English. I mean, there are no halachas how to write an ABC. If it looks like an ABC, it's an ABC. So if you hold that all in order to be chayav and Shabbos, all you need is it should be legible. Someone should be able to recognize it, read it as a letter. So then you chayav for writing ABC, and you chayav for writing yuds without kutzos yuds, and you chayav for writing zayins without tagin. If you can read the words, so that's considered to be an os and you chayav. That's the view of most of the Rishonim. But here you see this minority view in the Rishonim between Rabbeinu Yoel from last week, Rabbeinu Simcha from this week, was saying no, not so simple. Hilchas Ksiv is defined objectively by the Torah, and the objective criteria that he used are Hilchas Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, and therefore anything that falls short in those areas of halacha falls short in Hilchas Shabbos as well. The two examples being it's missing the Kutzos Shayud, it's missing the Tagin, any of the above is not going to constitute Ksiv. What was the source ultimately for this Rabbeinu Simcha? Where did he get this idea to bridge the two? One Zilch Shabbos, one Zilch Sefer Torah. Where in the world did he get this idea that the standards are the same? Well, he can't blame Rabbeinu Simcha. He got it from the Gemara. He got it from the Gemara in the ninth and the Rambam comes that we read. Had the boys uni, had the boys uni. The Gemara is talking about writing on Shabbos, and the Gemara sticks in the fact that are they tagging or they're not tagging. It sounds like the Gemara already made the bridge, assuming that we read the Gemara correctly. Remember when we introduced that Gemara and the ninth in the Rambam comes, I said there are many, many different ways of reading that Gemara. One way already Steve was reading Mechavin, there's ultimately Metz Hashem the next year. So we have to go back to that Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, because that was ultimately the source of our entire discussion, just how connected are the definitions of Hilchos Ksiva for the purposes of Shabbos and the purposes of other areas of Halacha as well. So Metz Hashem the next year, we'll try to go back to that Neguda. Just in terms of the schedule,